Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm dandy.
Dandy. That's a new one. That's a new one from you, but I'm glad to hear. I do have to bring some good news to you as we start our segment today. You said you liked The Gentleman. I think that was last week, the show. You've enjoyed The Gentleman,
correct? I'm struggling to get through it. I haven't. How many seasons are there?
Just one.
Just one? I'm muddling my way through it. But okay, so what's the good news?
They finally put The Gentleman, the movie with Matthew McConaughey on Netflix for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's something we discussed.
So it's for free?
Yes.
It's free on Netflix.
Well, I mean, for free. I mean, as long as you have a Netflix subscription.
Well, after we talked about the movie, my buddy Charles watched it. But it was available somewhere for $1.99. So maybe it was on Amazon for $1.99 or something.
Yeah.
So, but listen, if I can save $1.99.
Save that $1.99. Go to Netflix.
You know what they say? $1.99 saved is $1.99 earned. I think Ben Franklin said that. And so I'll do that. And you recommend the movie. You've seen it. It's good.
I have not watched the movie. This is Connor's recommendation. I trust Connor.
I actually watched it last night.
Anybody with a letterbox account and the
Cinephiles.
I watched it last night.
It's Guy Ritchie.
Better than the show?
I think it's better than the show. It's more compact. The show, you're right. The show does drag along a bit as it gets later into the season. I think it ended on a high note. But I think the movie is just better overall package for what it's going for. The gentlemanly English gangsters, right. I think the movie does it much better.
Thank you for the good news. I appreciate that.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Now, I guess, I don't even know, this is just news. Timberwolves, what did we watch last night? What was that? That
was insane. We watched an utter destruction. It actually reminded me, and this is, you're too young to remember this, but I covered Auburn and Alabama for a few years when I started out as a sports writer in Anniston. And there was a Sugar Bowl. I think it was 1992. And the Miami Hurricanes were the high-flying, can't-be-stopped, you know, the U at the time. And they went into the Sugar Bowl, and everyone thought they'd win. And they just got destroyed by Alabama in a totally physical, grinding performance that left no doubt. And mind you, there's still two games left in the series, maybe, or at least two games left in the series. But that was an utter destruction of a team. Chris Harrington put it, he says, sometimes you hear about someone getting run off the floor. No, the Nuggets got ground into the floor. And I think that's an accurate description of what happened last night. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Let me just ask you this. I know you're not like the hot take guy. I'm usually not that guy. But I think this series is just like over. And I usually don't just like stake my claim after two games. But you're down 0-2. You're headed to Minnesota. Rudy Gobert didn't even freaking play last night.
Right.
Reggie Jackson has a bum ankle. Jamal Murray looks frustrated. Nikola Jokic looks frustrated. It's over. It's over to me.
I think it is over. I mean, the truth of the matter is that they are Jamal Murray, I really think that is a huge part of it. But the way they have, you know, it's not, they didn't win by you know, making 28 threes. They won by, they didn't even win because Anthony was tremendous or anything. He had 27 last night. He was good. They won because they were physically overwhelming.
Yes.
And they had this team that runs supposedly the most precise two-man game in the league, so that they were bitching at the officials, throwing stuff on the court, you know, getting shot clock violations. This was in Denver, yeah, where the Nuggets had only lost eight games all year. And so absolutely physically imposed their will. You're right. Without Rudy Gobert, I think it is over.
Yes.
And then you start wondering, I mean, I'm honestly, like I was just before you called, I was wondering, could they win the title? Of course they can win the title. And then I was thinking to myself, are they going to win the title? And they might well. I still think you'd pick Boston,
sure,
right? Boston has an easier path still. You know, I think apart from getting past the Nuggets, they then will have to play a reasonably formidable team in the next round before they even get to the Celtics. I think the Celtics have a much easier path. So you'd pick the Celtics, but the Celtics still have some issues of actually doing it. So it's been remarkable.
Yeah. Now the only way I see the Nuggets really winning a game or stringing together a couple wins is if the referees decide to call a game not like an NBA playoff game, because everybody was talking about the physicality and how the Timberwolves were getting away with a lot of pushing and shoving. But that's usually how the NBA playoffs are refereed. And I didn't think it was refereed any different on either side. For God's sake, I mean, the Timberwolves had six more fouls.
No, but
it was
refereed differently in New York.
Yes, it was way different.
So,
agreed.
So I think what you're what one would say is that whistle, the whistle that you saw in New York, putting apart from the errors, which we may maybe talk about in a minute, that whistle would probably be more helpful to Denver than letting just Karl Anthony Towns truck people, right? I mean, it was so. I think it is true. NBA teams tend to be looser, but there were two very different games in terms of how they were refereed last night. I still don't think that's gonna, Denver is not a deep team. One of their two key players is clearly hobbled, I can see him getting a game. I could see him getting two games. At this point, though, I can't see him winning the series.
Yeah, right. Now, I know you talked about this on your show, but it came to my mind as well. It came to everybody's mind, I think, for the most part, because we've talked about small ball lineups and how those have worked in the NBA. It doesn't really matter with the Timberwolves. They have guys that can match up with you in small ball, and they play big and they play physical. But full-strength Grizzlies versus this Timberwolves team, I got to say, I don't feel – during the season, I didn't feel good about it. I really don't feel good about it watching them play right now.
No, I don't either. There's some elements at play here. How long – Mike Conley signed for another, 2 years. But he's getting older. They have the financial issues. We'll see what they do about that. And then the other thing is the Grizzlies aren't complete.
Right,
like we know, it did. As I watched it last night, you picture, okay, how do the Grizzlies, compete here? And the problem is that they're not as big up front, but they're not as big on the perimeter either. You know, like the Grizzlies have size issues if you're comparing them to the Timberwolves everywhere. And then the Grizzlies, it's not like they're a great shooting team. So they have some challenges. To me, it raises the question of, okay, what big are they going to get, like, to throw into this fray? You know, what big are they going to get to be able to bolster their chances against a team like that? Or for that matter, against a team like Denver? You know, so, but they are, at this point, at least, you know, they're an incomplete roster. So we'll see. Right now,
like the Grizzlies are a small. I mean, even looking at next year, even if they get the bigs that we expect them to get, they're not going to be. They're going to be a small team. They're going to be a small team.
Well, particularly if Marcus Smart is your three.
Yeah.
So you got Marcus Smart at the three, and you've got Ja, who's not physically imposing, and then you've got Dez, and little linky arms. And no, they're not a long team. And then you got, and then if you're playing Jaren and Brandon, let's just say, for example.
Yeah.
Now I do think that. If you have Marcus Smart, you know, and Jaren and Vince Williams on the court together, like, that is going to be a good defensive team. It, you know,
yeah.
You got two defensive players of the year and Vince Williams on there. That is going to be a good defensive team. And Vince Williams can rebound his position, you know, extremely well. So you don't know who you're going to be matching up against,
right.
You know, in the playoffs. You know, you may have to play small ball with Oklahoma City. But I do think it emphasizes the need. Well, two things. It emphasizes the need, you know, for the big, which we already knew. It is interesting, though. Like, if they ended up picking, there's only one big in the draft who they could really pick, who really would even think about answering the problem, and that's Klingon, right?
Yeah.
So if they ended up picking, you know, one of the many wings, you know, who are available. Would that really be so bad? You know, one of the physically,
no.
You know, one. I don't actually think it would be.
I thought it was interesting too. Like the names that were brought up by Drew Hill in the Daily Memphian were Klingon, Sarr, and Sarr would have to be like one, probably first overall. But then he brought up Stephon Castle and Reed Shepard as the other two. I don't think that would be bad. I don't think that'd be bad at all.
Well, I mean, Reed Shepard, you know, would help with the shooting issues, but he wouldn't help with the size issue, you know, that's
right.
For sure. He's pesky, but I think Stephon Castle would, you know, he'd be the opposite. Like, he would help with the physicality, rebounds his position well, really super athletic. You know, you could actually imagine him, you know, in the fray against the Timberwolves. The problem is, at least at right now, he can't shoot, you know, mm-hmm. So and for a team that already struggles to shoot, I still think there's enough there that you'd be happy to take a chance on it. Like, whatever. I don't actually think he'll get to them. I think he'll get higher. In fact, it's interesting. Those four guys that Drew Hill mentioned as possibilities in his piece today, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. I think if the Grizzlies stay where they are or slide down one spot, tell me if you disagree. I think they'll all be gone.
Stephon Castle, I think, could be there. Oh, the other three,
so.
No.
I think he kind of blew up during the tournament. I think people realized how good he could be, what an impactful player he could be.
Yeah, I just think the streaky three-point shooting.
His shooting was bad. His shooting was bad.
Yeah. But, like, you sort of hope he – I mean, if the three-point shooting turns up, it's different. But, like, Connor and I were talking about it, sort of like – you hope he turns into like a Josh Hart type because he's really good on the defensive end. He's really good on the defensive end.
Well, and he's a better ball handler. Like he can see the floor. He can make plays. I think it's a reasonable comp. I think he can be better than Josh Hart.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's got to be able to make open shots in the end. Mm-hmm. And whether he can, I don't know. I really think they'll all be gone. I think those guys are all going to go top six.
Well, here's to hoping that Tayshaun Prince brings some luck, right? Gets them into the top five.
I mean, well, like, you honest, change it up, I guess.
How it would be very frustrating, and it would definitely leave you in a position if you're the Grizzlies where you feel like you don't have as much flexibility if you go seven or later. That's just not a – I don't – you know, flexibility turns up a hell of a notch if you get into that top five.
Yeah, it's funny, though. If you – normally when you, quote-unquote, win a lottery, You think, woohoo, it's on. We're going to get, you know, whatever, John Morant, to take a recent example, right? Here, it's like, woohoo, we're going to have our pick of imperfect options. You know? Who are you thinking this is going to enable you to get? Except for, yes, flexibility, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, you do the hire is better. You want to have the person you want rather than have someone you know, that is left for you. But it will be, listen, I hope Tayshaun can bring home a high pick. But it's going to be different than any other lottery they've been in because there's not even after one. There's just no obvious player that you want to get. There's not one player or there's not, you know, one or two players. NHL draft lotteries tonight, and there's one. There's one guy. After that, it's a total crapshoot.
Yep.
But the NBA lottery, it feels like a total crapshoot from the very top.
Yep, I hear you. Now, I want to ask you about this because he's been on these airwaves in the past, I believe, with GP. But Greg Doyle, the thing with Caitlin Clark, so people that don't know, Greg Doyle from the Indianapolis Star, he was in
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Opening press conference with Caitlin Clark, and he was talking about her heart hand signal that she gives out to her family after every single game. And Greg Doyle, it felt like almost flirtatious in a way, I guess, to a lot of people, where he said, as long as you do the heart signal to me, we'll be just fine. People took that very, very badly, to say the least, and he's not going to be able to cover the Indiana Fever or Caitlin Clark for indefinitely. What did you make of this entire situation and the fact that the Indianapolis Star made that decision?
Well, it was clearly a bad moment for Greg and a stupid thing to do. What happened there, and there was a really interesting column by a woman who had worked with Greg at the Indianapolis Star, who now writes for the Washington Post, and she wrote about it. And she once was friends with him and then kind of had a falling out. So she's okay. So she's not protecting him as a former friend. She said, actually, you know, we had disagreements and we don't want any to communicate. She's not easy on him. She basically says, you know, she doesn't think he's a misogynistic son of a gun, you know, like that. Here's my analysis of what Greg the fundamental problem there is he was trying to make this press conference about him.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, I'm going to make the little heart thing to her on behalf of all of Indianapolis, right? I'm going to welcome her to Indianapolis by doing the heart thing. That's what he said. And then when she said, you like that, huh? And then he said this, but then he was just babbling. I don't really like that. Wasn't planned.
Yes.
What he planned to do was to make, hey, welcome to Memphis and make the heart thing, right? He was making it about him.
Yeah.
It's not his job. You know, he's there to write about Caitlin Clark coming. He's not there to, and to me, the fundamental issue there is Greg Doyle was kind of like trying to be the, he was trying to make it about him. He's trying to be me. He's a me, he's sort of a me guy. You know, you want to be the columnist who's welcoming it. And he totally screwed up. And it was awkward and stupid and whatever you want to describe it. It was awful.
Yeah.
And then the question is, are you suspended? What does Indianapolis Star do? And, you know, what are you suspending him for? Being a jerk? Like, you know, what's the violation there? And then they evidently aren't announcing that he just disappeared. He just stopped writing for them for a little bit. And now Bob Kravitz, who used to be the columnist actually at the Indianapolis Star, I guess he broke the news, or I saw his tweet anyway, that said he's been suspended for 2 weeks. I guess that seems appropriate, you know?
Right.
And I think it also probably seems appropriate to not have him covering, not because they're trying to keep him away from, you know, some deviant.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's not why. It's just like, we're going to let this simmer down. You know, we're not,
right.
We're going to let this simmer down. We're just going to cover Caitlin Clark. It's not about Greg Doyle and Caitlin Clark. The truth of the matter is he then wrote an apology column that was awful too. You know, like his apology was loud.
He basically called himself an oaf and tried to like write it off that
way.
I'm not smooth. I'm not a smooth guy.
It was like you should at that point literally fall on your sword. And so I don't think he's a hideous human being or anything like that. And yes, he used to be on with Gary all the time. I think the problem is his ego got in the way.
Yeah.
And as it can with columnists, you know, I've been one for a long time, and we can, you know, sometimes want to make it about ourselves, and it's not about us, and you're always better off if you stay out of the way and just tell the story.
Yeah, I don't mind the decision by the Indianapolis Star. I think it's fine. It is what it is. The one thing that really bothered me about the full reaction, and I don't get, people can have a reaction on this thing, and I understand it was weird, it was creepy. It just never felt malicious to me. The entire interaction,
it wasn't malicious.
Nothing felt malicious. It felt like people tried to make it malicious. People tried to sort of paint it that way, and I didn't see it that way.
It wasn't malicious, but it's also not malicious when, you know, a 70-year-old guy says, "Hi, sweetie," or pets you on the butt. You know what I mean? A woman on the butt.
Right.
They don't mean anything malicious by it, but it's still
outdated and weird.
Behavior,
yes.
Not appropriate behavior in this day and time. And that was not appropriate. It was inappropriate. Particularly, it was inappropriate, honestly, to do the heart thing, to make it about you. But then it was so inappropriate what he said later. Just do it to me and we'll be fine. I'm sure he said it. He was like, what the hell am I saying? This is the dumbest thing in the world. But so no, I don't think it was malicious, but I think it was totally inappropriate. And so I think it's okay to be disciplined for that.
No, completely understand. I was wondering about this question last night. Why do we care? Why do people care about the Met Gala? Why is the Met Gala such a big deal?
I think it's just
fashion.
Stardom.
I'm not a fashion guy, and the people like stars and celebrities, sure.
Yeah, it's celebrity, it's fashion, it's it's New York. None of that is anything that that I connect to particularly.
It's just always weirded me out. I've always been a little uncomfortable by the whole thing. And some of these outfits, it's like they're naked.
Or,
they're literally naked out there.
Are they naked?
Yeah, there was one woman who had a completely see-through dress with nothing underneath.
No.
I think it was Emily Ratajkowski.
Well, I'll make sure I Google it.
Oh, there you go.
Not to be Greg Doyle.
Sure.
Right.
I hear you. But yeah, that's something it was yesterday. That's all I know about it. I just get uncomfortable every year.
Ben Simmons was there. He was healthy enough to.
They said he spent more time on the red carpet than playing this year.
Right.
Yeah. So there is that.
It's good life.
Yeah. But Jeff, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also host the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. ESPN. Now, Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store that's been making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Make sure you get over to 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road, behind the Amoco station, and you'll see that beautiful two-story storefront that you're going to love. With a kind and courteous staff and Earl the dog in there, go pat Earl the dog on the head and tell him that Gabe sent you. You're going to love it over at 964 June Road. They have the best clothing and the best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. You get some vintage tees for your favorite teams, but they do have your favorite teams. Grizzlies, Tigers, Arkansas, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. Then you can get the sports memorabilia. You can look at their vintage vinyl. You can look at some hunting and outdoor essentials. They have all the tailgating gear you could possibly imagine at Oxbow that you can go to the Grove with. You can enjoy yourself on Tiger Lane with. Make sure you get over to 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road, behind the Amoco station. And then you can go online as well. Go to shopoxbow.com. And what I can do for you is get you 20% off at shopoxbow.com if you use my promo code thegabeshow, all caps, no spaces, thegabeshow. So you go and make sure, you know, when you get your cart filled with whatever your heart desires, there will be a spot to put in that promo code. Thegabeshow is what you put in, all caps, no spaces, and you'll get that 20% off at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in-store at 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. Now it's time to go ahead and grab a break right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. We'll be back with more right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It is NBA awards season. We've already announced a few of these, but we have a couple more that have come out in the last 24 hours. Just notably right this second. But 5 minutes ago, Sham Sharania has reported that Rudy Gobert won Defensive Player of the Year. Completely understandable. 162 blocks this year, 2.1 per game. And let's be honest, best defensive player on the best defensive team the entire year. And we're starting to see that carry over into the playoffs. And as much as, you know, you could look at that game last night and you could sit there and say, oh, well, Rudy Gobert was out and they still were unbelievable. Had one of their best defensive outputs of the year. I heard Chris Finch talking after the game and I thought it was interesting. I think Rudy Gobert gets a lot of flack. I think it really started with the COVID thing and touching all the mics, and he's become sort of this not very liked guy around the NBA. But, and he's a little bit weird, too, let's be honest. Frenchman, a little weird. But Chris Finch was talking about, you know, Rudy may have been out tonight, and, you know, we may have had our best defensive output of the year. But what Rudy Gobert has done the last 2 years in getting a defensive identity instilled in the rest of the team and them following is the reason that you have outputs like they had last night. And I think that that's something that you can't really measure. He is the best defensive player on the best defensive team in the NBA. I think it's well-deserved. Now, also, the next guy we're going to talk about who won Rookie of the Year, he was one of the three finalists for Defensive Player of the Year, but Victor Wembanyama, this was so easy. I think he had 99 first-place votes, and nobody else had eight. Any more than eight, and I think that was Chet Holmgren who had eight.
Wait. It wasn't unanimous?
I don't think it was fully unanimous.
That's absolutely insane.
I think it's crazy, but hey.
That's absolutely insane.
Well, I think, you know, there's some voters that are stupid, and they'll say Chet Holmgren's on the number one seed in the West.
This is the dumbest thing in the world.
This Victor Wembanyama guy, this is one of the worst teams in the NBA. There's some voters that are stupid, but that's all I'll leave it up to. But he's the third player to earn the honor with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, teams that played for the Spurs, or guys that played for the Spurs. And then he led all rookies in points, rebounds, and blocks per game. He's the second rookie to lead all NBA players in blocks per game in a season, joining Manute Bol in 85-86. He's the first player to average at least 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks, and fewer than 30 minutes per game. He is also the first player to have at least 1,500 points, 700 rebounds, 250 assists, 250 blocks, and 100 three-pointers made in a season. This guy is an absolute positive force, and I am terrified for what he will become in the Western Conference in years to come. And when you compare him to David Robinson and to Tim Duncan, he had the most points per game, he was second in rebounds per game, and he was first by a pretty wide margin in blocks per game when you compare him to those two guys. So he's outpacing those two freaking guys. And let's be honest about Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan made the All-Star team in his rookie year. To outpace Tim Duncan in this conversation, not even talking about David Robinson, it's absolutely insane what Victor Wembanyama is doing. This should have been open and shut. The fact that Chet Holmgren got 8 first-place votes, kind of insane to me. But at least the right decision was made. The obvious decision was made.
Yeah, we are... He is the asteroid heading towards Earth and Don't Look Up, and we're just trying to ignore like it's not there and pretend like it's not going to hit us, because it definitely is. And if they figure out a point guard position and get any type of winning players around him, it can get scary very fast. If we want to be completely honest about it, if the Spurs win a few more games, he probably wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep.
They just did not have enough wins to justify him winning. I would have probably voted for him if I had a vote, because when you look at his numbers, it's just absolutely insane.
It just seems on the 27th ranked defense.
Yes, but
There's nothing he can do about it, though.
Was on the court, yes, they were a top 10 defense. Yeah. Off the court, they were one of the worst.
Yes. I mean, he's ridiculous. And like the step back threes and the handling from a guy that's 7'4" and the assists, getting off the bounce and helping his teammates out, then you on the defensive end, he might be even better. It's just, it boggles the mind. If this guy stays, you know, injury-free throughout his career, I think we're talking about a multiple MVP guy. And for all those people around the last year's draft who wanted to take all of this hype and get frustrated about it and talk about him being a potential bust, you look rather dumb right now. You look insane, stupid, because he did all this in under 30 minutes per game. Greg Popovich didn't want to highlight him on the offensive end for most of the year. Like, it's just, he is the asteroid headed directly toward Earth.
He's going to get multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards. And I'm curious what you think about this. Rudy Gobert has now won it for the fourth time. It's a record-tying thing. He joins Dikembe Mutombo and Ben Wallace, two of the all-time defenders. Do you think that Rudy's going to get a fifth? Or has the arrival of Wemby, is he going to box him out?
I think he'll box him out. I absolutely do. And there's also other very damn good defenders in this league that could definitely surpass. Like, Jaden McDaniels on that Timberwolves team might become sort of the focal point of this whole thing.
Vince Williams Jr.
Jaren Jackson Jr. already has a Defensive Player of the Year under his belt. And Victor Wembanyama, I wonder if it's just going to be copy and paste. He has to win. You can't challenge him at the rim.
To branch off of this question, would you put money down right now that Wemby breaks that record, that he gets more than 4?
Depends what the odds are.
If the over-under was 4.5, would you go over-under?
4.5? Oh, my gosh.
Because the record's 4.
That's so hard. A lot has to go right. I mean, I'd go under just for the sanctity of the sport. You know what I mean? Like, to try to uphold the sanctity of the NBA, I'd try to go under.
Because if he gets more than that, everything's on fire.
Yes, it is so far. It is directly in the realm of possibilities that he can get to the record. Because he's so damn good on that.
It feels like injuries.
How old is he at this point?
He's like 20.
20, 21? Come on. I mean, it's just...
It feels like injuries will be the only thing that would hold
him. And
then
also, again, he's played 30... Yeah, injuries. But also, he's played 30... He didn't even play 30 minutes per game. And he's going to surpass that number going in through the rest of his career.
And he just turned 20.
He averaged 3.6 blocks per game in less than 30 minutes per game. When he gets those numbers bumped up to 35, 36 minutes per game, we may be talking about a guy who eclipses 4 blocks per game.
Gobert had 162 blocks, right?
Yes.
Wemby had 254.
Yeah.
What in the hell are we talking about right now, dude?
It's crazy.
254? And you didn't play 30 minutes a game? What in the hell?
It's mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing, the stats he put out this year. Now, I do want to do something really quick, because we have a new commitment for the Tiger football team on the transfer portal. If you'll remember, on the offensive line, we had some questions about it because Davion Carter ended up going to Texas Tech. Jacob Likes, who's been the 4-year starter at center, he's off, and he's going to be doing a rookie minicamp here relatively soon, I believe with the Denver Broncos, if I'm not mistaken. And then left tackle Mekhi'lan Pounders, this was a big one, he was going to be a junior, and now he's off to Mississippi State to play left tackle for them. But it looks like the Tigers found their left tackle of the future in Old Dominion transfer Chris Adams. He's 6'6", 295 pounds. His sophomore year started 13 games at Old Dominion. 9 of them at left tackle. He's got great feet. He's a people mover. He's very strong. He's very athletic. He's got really good hands. He's got long arms. This is the type of guy who was committed to...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Washington 6 days ago. Washington, yes, that Washington who was in the national championship game last year. Obviously, they have a new coach, but they were in the national championship game last year. They get good recruits over at Washington. They have a lot of NIL. He decommitted from there, ends up at the University of Memphis. If you look at who was recruiting this guy, you would see the fact that it was Washington and Arizona and all these big-name schools that are expecting big things from their team going into next year. And also, the Old Dominion, you know, Memphis connection is starting to get pretty massive. Taj Rael, who's in the cornerback room right now, who probably will get a lot of run this year for that secondary. You had Blake Watson and now Chris Adams. And now when you look at this offensive line, I know there were two big position groupings, Connor, if you'll remember, that I pointed out as questions. Offensive line and secondary. Going to be honest with you, after this commitment, don't have many questions about the offensive line. And the reason I'll say it is because Chris Adams could be your potential starter at left tackle, 13 games under his belt, a lot at left tackle, really athletic, can put on some weight, and certainly has some familiarity with what he's going to be doing here in this offense. At left guard, Xavier Hill, who was the LSU transfer, who started every single game last year. He played left tackle, right tackle, left guard. He would start at left guard. Jonah Gamble, who started probably 30-plus games here at Memphis at center. Malachi Breland, who was a freshman last year, who started in the Iowa State game, who I cannot get the staff to stop gushing over. They absolutely love this guy at right guard, 6'3", 340, absolute people mover and super athletic with his feet at that size. And then Kedrell Lewis at right tackle, who's 6'6", 320 pounds, and he started 25-plus games at UL Monroe. And that's not even mentioning the guys that they have behind him. Isaiah Reed, a transfer from Louisville who started some games there at Louisville. You have a guy in Jalen Nichols who was supposed to start at left tackle for South Carolina last year before tearing his ACL. He could be a guy that you rotate in. And then Trent Holler, who started 20-plus games at center for Marshall. Tim Cramsey, the OC at Memphis's, last stop. So they have an offensive line of, yeah, mixed and matched pieces, but they can go eight deep with this offensive line, have a swing tackle, have a swing guard, have a guy to fill in at center and Trent Holler. I think the questions for me at this particular moment are relatively eliminated about this offensive line. And if you watch the spring game, Mario Anderson had some room to run.
Fair expectation for this team, 10 wins?
Fair expectation or the expectation. It has to happen,
right?
It feels like.
Agreed.
I mean, to eliminate this question before we even get into fall camp, come on.
Plus, when you look at the conference and what it's going to be.
I still am going to have some questions about the secondary. You lose Diego Brumfield, who I thought maybe had gotten passed up in the rotation, but he ends up committing to Mississippi State and reuniting with Matt Barnes, the former DC, who's now the co-DC at Mississippi State. Like, that's going to worry me. Along the D-line, Jar Anderson ends up at Arizona, and he was a freshman last year, so he has got a lot to build. I'm a little frustrated by those two moves, and Cameron Smith ends up at TCU. He was a safety last year. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, my one question is about secondary. I feel like the entire offense is taken care of. Defense, you got D-line, linebackers all taken care of. That DB room's the next thing to sort of have a question about. It doesn't mean I don't think they'll be solid. But we've seen in the past that that's the one position group that seems to spiral out of control as the season goes along. But I think all the questions along the O-line, with the addition of Old Dominion transfer offensive tackle Chris Adams, I think they're just about answered. They're just about answered. Now we're just going to wait on health and see who ends up starting. Now let's go ahead and grab a break, and we'll get to small talk next. And in small talk, Austin Rivers made an assertion, I guess is the best way to put it, about NBA players to the NFL or NFL players to the NBA. I'll tell you, tell you what he said next and why I disagree with it wholeheartedly.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Austin Rivers was on the Pat McAfee Show, and they were talking about the NBA-NFL crossover. Could NFL players play in the NBA? Could NBA players play in the NFL? And Austin Rivers had the absolute unmitigated gall to sit up there and say, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. One, 30 is way overestimation for players in the NBA that could go to the NFL. And I think it would be the same way if you're talking about NFL to the NBA. But there's a couple of things that I want to make very clear. Seven-footers, completely eliminate them from the conversation going to the NFL. You cannot play. You don't have good enough leverage. You're not going to get under anybody. We don't have a position for you to be 7 foot. And honestly, 6'10 and above. We don't have a position for you to be 6'10 and above and play in the NFL. You just can't do it. Your leverage isn't good enough. Your center of gravity, you're going to get absolutely ramrodded every time you make contact with anybody. Now, I do think in the NBA, there are exceptional athletes that could make that switch over. But I also think there's plenty in there. There's a few here in the NFL that could make that switch over. There's multiple NFL players that were 3-, 4-, 5-star talents at the on the basketball side coming out of high school that ultimately never pursued the basketball side of this thing. And also, let's think about some of the best tight ends we've had, right? We've had, you know, NBA players, or not NBA players, college basketball players, Antonio Gates. You have George Fant, who now plays offensive tackle. He was a Western Kentucky power forward. You had Tony Gonzalez. Like, you've had all these different guys that have pursued football that also played pretty high level on the basketball side of things. So I think that's kind of ridiculous. I think, if we're being honest, the number that could make that transition is probably about even, but it's under 10. It's 10 and up.
I would agree.
But I want to focus on this part.
Maybe
of the
even
whole
five.
Thing. When NBA players say that they could transition into playing in the NFL, I think that we need to put this to bed, at least to a certain extent. You have to be a psychopath to play football. You do. You have to have a different mindset about hitting other people than the mindset that I see night to night in the NBA. The flopping, the like all this
Jamal
different
Murray
stuff.
Just going to be throwing
like,
all
LeBron
the
LeBron might sue somebody. LeBron, you know, Anthony Davis would get absolutely, he might play one game and then be done. And I'll say this. I look at one of the biggest tough guys right now, and quote-unquote tough guys, I guess I'll say, in the NBA, in Draymond Green. 6'7", good size, thinks, you know, a good weight, probably, theoretically, to play in the NFL. Have you ever seen him play football? He tried it at Michigan State. He tried to play tight end. When I tell you he was one of the worst tight ends I have ever seen in my life, and that's your tough guy. That's the guy that's supposed to have the mindset to potentially play in the NFL. That's the guy that's supposed to be tough enough. So as much as we want to say, okay, these athletes are good enough to make that transition, it's not about the athleticism all the time. We've seen that time and time again. It's about want to and toughness, and are you a little bit of a psycho in your head?
Some of the first guys that come to mind who would be able to possibly make that transition, it would have to be like the Lou Dortz of the league, or maybe even like Dylan Brooks is a bit of, maybe he's in crazy enough to make
you'd
that transition. Jaden McDaniels. I'm thinking of like the defensive-minded guys I think would have an easier transition if they wanted to play football. But like you said,
it's
after a
different
couple
level
hit,
of
they're going to be like, whoa!
It's a different physicality, guys.
There's
altogether.
No flagrants. Well, I guess there are kind
you'd
of.
You'd have to train
no
for two-plus years to go figure it out, learn the physicality, play against other guys. Then maybe you could make that transition. But still, there has to be this intrinsic psychopath in you to play the sport of football. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
Westbrook probably could have done it.
I think there are plenty of athletes that have more than enough athleticism to play the game, but do they have that dog in them?
Right.
Do they have that extra level of physicality that they can unlock? So I just disagree wholeheartedly with his with that entire conversation that Austin Rivers is trying to subject us to. But we have a third hour on the way. We'll get to the Blitz around 6:30. We'll wrap up here at the bottom of this final hour. But Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media and my podcast co-host on the On the Bluff podcast, he's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.